بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فهل عسيتم إن توليتم أن تفسدوا في الأرض وتقطعوا أرحامكم؟ وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: سل من قطعك، واعف عن من ظلمك، وأحسن إلى من أساء إليك، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Most respected listeners of Markaz al-Sahaba, today I wish to discuss very briefly, in the light of the ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which actually is an explanation of the Quran al-Kareem, the importance and some benefits of maintaining family ties. Silatul Rahim, or family ties, in Quran al-Kareem to such an extent that in several places Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the rights of one's parents and other relatives immediately after mentioning the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So our first duty is to our Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran al-Kareem, وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. Worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not make shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَبِالْوَالِدِينِ إِحْسَانًا. And be kind to your parents. وَبِذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى. And be kind to your family members. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the orphans and the poor people and so forth. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ لَا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهَ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And like this, there are numerous other ayat of the Quran al-Kareem in which we are taught to prioritize, that is, firstly, we should give due importance to fulfilling the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and thereafter, from amongst the people, come our parents, and thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the other family members. Now in the hadith we'll find a similar mention of the importance of prioritizing. A sahabi asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that which action is most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala love the most? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, As-salatu ala waqtiha, the reading salah upon its time, in its fixed time. This is a right that we owe to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we can sacrifice our businesses, our family time, our sleep, our eating, for the sake of our salah. So we work all these things around our salah. Thereafter, sahabi asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is the best action? What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala love most? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned, birrul walidain, kindness to parents. A villager once came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam and he asked Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, or probably just a normal sahabi. So he asked Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that, who should I show my kindness to the most? Who deserves my kindness? So Nabi alayhi salam mentioned, ummuk, your mother. So he then asked, ثُمَّ مَنْ, thereafter who? Nabi alayhi salam again replied, ummuk. And upon inquiring for a third time, Nabi alayhi salam again responded by saying, ummuk. And the fourth time, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, your father. And he mentioned the hadith also that Nabi alayhi salam, after speaking of the rights of parents, Nabi alayhi salam mentioned regarding the relatives that al-aqrab fal-aqrab, that those who are closest to you, they deserve your kindness more and thereafter those who are closest. In some hadith, it is even spelled out that after the father and the mother comes the brother and the sister, and then other relatives. Sometimes Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would mention, those who work for you, they are deserving of your kindness. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also spelled out others who deserve our kindness, like the neighbors, the close neighbors and the distant neighbors, and the person, the companion who is at one side. Now, there are different meanings to this here, but nonetheless, we are taught how important it is for us to understand that we should treat those who are closest to us with the most kindness. In some ahadiths, the benefits are also mentioned of maintaining family ties. Like Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned, that tuba liman barra walidayhi, that glad tidings for that person who is kind to his parents, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase his life, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless him in his wealth, and people will love him as well. So these are three very great benefits mentioned in the hadith of maintaining family ties, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give a person a long life. So this could mean Allah ta'ala knows best. It could mean that in taqdeer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already decreed how long a person will live for. So in taqdeer, it was already decreed that this person will maintain family ties, he will keep up with his family, be good to his family, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him a long life. Or it could mean that even if a person has a short life, Allah will bless him so much in it that he will be able to achieve what others normally achieve in long lives. Or some people, they live for very long lives, but they will not be able to achieve what this person can achieve in a short span of time. So this is the blessing and the barakah of maintaining family ties. And similarly, in one's wealth as well, whether a person has a little wealth or a lot of wealth, when Allah Ta'ala puts barakat and blessings in the wealth, then a person is able to achieve a lot with the wealth. And the third benefit is that people will love this person as well. So definitely, if we go the extra mile and we try to be good, then it is Allah Ta'ala's system that people will love us as well. Because we get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are doing the right things, we are taking the du'as of the malaika, so Allah ta'ala will put it in the hearts of the people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to love us as well. As far as this salah is concerned, it mentioned that the best thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves is reciting salah upon its time. And it also mentioned that we should try to work our daily routine around our salah. So some ulama mention a very nice point. They say that when we get up in the morning, the first thing we do is to read our salah after our du'as and other sunnahs. But the first command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to recite salah. So it could be either the tahajjud salah, that Allah grant us tawfiq to get up early and to recite tahajjud salah in the dark hours of the night. It's the time when we're closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or at least we get up for Fajr Salah. So Allah Ta'ala has made our deen so easy that we sleep throughout the night, we have a nice long night to rest, which our bodies require, which Allah Ta'ala has made it a requirement for us, a necessity for us. So Allah Ta'ala then made Fajr Salah very short. It's just 2 rakat sunnah, 2 rakat fard. And thereafter, because we have other commitments, other needs as insan, so we have the whole morning, we have a long morning to now eat and to go to our work, to attend to our other business, whatever else we need to do. So Allah has given us a whole long morning, many, many hours to do that. And thereafter, the Dhuhr Salah. So at that time, normally it's a time of a bit of like ghafla, a bit of negligence, because we have worked so hard, now we need to take a break, we need to have lunch. And we are fully awake as well also after working the whole morning. So we have the Dhuhr Salah, which is much longer, it's about 12 rakats. But the bare minimum, we read our 4 rakats fard of salah, and our 4 sunnah mu'akkada and 2 sunnah mu'akkada, at least 10 rakats we should read. So this is a time when a person is generally a bit negligent and a person has now fully awake also, it's the middle of the day, so person, Allah has given us Zuhr Salah, which is about 12 hours. And thereafter, maybe our work is not yet completed, Allah has given us a few more hours to complete our, to see to our worldly tasks. So the Asr Salah comes in the evening, and that's the time generally when we are rounding up for the day, winding up for the day generally. So we recite the Salat al-Asr. But because we are now closing up our businesses, we need to get back home, we may be a bit tired. So Asr Salah is short, 8 rakats, at least 4 rakats of fard. Then in the evening, we are going to have spent time with the family, and we will be tired, the night will be setting in. So Allah has made the Maghrib Salah also very short, 7 rakats, and a bare minimum, 3 fard and 2 sunnatul mu'akkada, 5 rakats. And at night, we are going to get to bed. So sometimes certain people, they at night, they feel like doing many other things also, the shayateen that are around at night. So they get involved in useless things, in sometimes wrong things. So Allah Ta'ala has given now the Isha Salah, which is much longer, maybe 17 rakats or whatever. It is quite long. It's longer than the other salahs. And one great benefit of this, ulama mentioned. Now, these are just some of the logical wisdoms that ulama have mentioned. So they say one is that after having our supper, at night usually there's not much physical activity. We have to get to bed as soon as possible. This is what we are supposed to be doing. So if we read our Isha Salah, if we read all the rakats, it will assist in digestion. It will help the food to digest because there's not much physical activity generally after Isha. And another benefit is that a person now, after reading it long rakats, so many rakats, a person will be tired and a person will be able to get to bed after having made the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and end of the day by taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and bowing down to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you look at it, how beautiful isn't this sequence of our salah, the order in which it is placed, the number of rakats, and the times of the day. We should try to work our daily routine around our salah. And regarding the Silatul Rahim, we end up with this hadith. The Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentions the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is called the hadith al-Qudsi. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, Ana ar-Rahman, I am the most merciful one. And I have created Rahim, that is family ties. So the word Rahim and family ties and relations comes from the word Rahman, from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So through Allah Ta'ala's special mercy, Allah Ta'ala has given us family, Allah Ta'ala has created the womb of the mother, and Allah has given us family, our families. This is the rahmah and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentioned to family ties, or mentioned generally, that whoever will maintain family ties, then I will keep with that person, I will be close to that person will have a good relationship with me. And whoever will break off family ties, then I will break off from that person. And one little point, ulama mentioned, that the bare minimum, if we have certain family that are not our immediate family, for example, our parents, we should keep in as much as possible in contact with them. If we are far away, at least phone them, keep in touch with them, find out how they are doing. If they are in need of financial assistance, we assist them. So in whatever way we can, try to keep in contact with them. If they are living nearby, visit them regularly. If they live far away, then when we get a chance, we should try to visit them. But when it comes to other certain other family members, that may be a bit far. So ulama mentioned, just at least try to make a phone call once in 2 months. This will be also regarded as keeping in touch with the family members. So this is not very difficult at all in today's times, with the WhatsApp and other forms of communication, which is so cheap. It's very easy to keep in touch with family members. At the bare minimum, which is not difficult at all, once in 2 months, just a phone call. Then inshallah, we will also be regarded among those who maintain family ties, not only with a close family, but even with those that are a little further off. And Nabi alayhi salam mentioned that laysa al-wasilu bil mukafi, that the person who treats people as they treat him is not regarded as one who joins family ties. But the real person who is a wasil, who is one who joins family ties, is that person who joins with those who cuts off with him. So when people don't phone us, they don't keep in touch with us, they don't care about us, yet we can take the initiative and go forward and meet them and be good to them, then in reality we will be those who will be joining family ties and we will gain all these benefits of maintaining and keeping family ties. Rabbi Ali Sallam mentioned, Silman Qata'ak, that keep family ties with those who cut off from you, وَعَفُوا عَمَّنْ ظَلَمَكَ and forgive those who oppress you, وَأَحْسِنْ إِلَى مَنْ أَسَاءَ إِلَيْكَ and be good to those who are bad to you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant me and grant all of us and the entire ummah tawfiq to make amal upon these beautiful teachings of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.